We're going to start talking now about endocrine therapy in the metastatic setting. And the case is a 57-year-old postmenopausal woman who has been on adjuvant anastrozole for 4 years, had an ER-PR positive, HER2-negative tumor originally. She now has bone and lung mets with minimal symptoms, much more typical presentation of metastatic disease. So she basically develops metastatic disease while receiving an aromatase inhibitor. What would your likely endocrine therapy be when you used endocrine therapy next in this patient? I've asked John to discuss this situation.
The first comment is that you have to have some idea as to what her prognosis is. And in the last case, we made a general assumption that she's got a bad prognosis. I think nobody would disagree with that. As far as I can see, it's very reasonable to give this lady endocrine therapy, is the first statement. Despite the fact she's progressed on adjuvant AI, endocrine therapy is a very reasonable position. Point to make, however, is that there are no randomized controlled data on endocrine therapies in metastatic breast cancer after an AI as adjuvant therapy. In fact, there's no data on endocrine therapy in metastatic breast cancer after AI as an adjuvant therapy, never mind no randomized data. There's even very little phase 2 data about this at the moment. So we're going to have to take data from other situations and apply it. Exemestane is a steroidal compound, steroidal aromatase inhibitor, and after a non-steroidal AI, and roughly if you get about a 30% response clinical benefit rate after a non-steroidal AI if you give exemestane. And this is phase 2 data. On the other hand, with Faslodex, you get roughly a similar clinical benefit rate of around 30%. So it's pretty similar. But the point I'd make to you again is that the numbers in both of these phase 2 sequence studies are pretty small. And the other thing is, too, we're using it really as third-line therapy. As I say, there's very little data after an AI as adjuvant. We're using it here really as third-line therapy. Now, one of the other options that's been put to us is that maybe we should continue anastrozole and put them in Faslodex. So the 34% clinical benefit rate was actually stopping the anastrozole and giving Faslodex. But the other suggestion is that perhaps we should just continue the anastrozole and start Faslodex. And the basis for that is really not on any clinical information that we have. It's really based on preclinical data, and this is some work that was published in Journal of Biological Chemistry by Dr. Martin, and the dose response curve, the bell-shaped curve that you get normally in the wild-type MCF7. But if you grow these cells up in estrogen-deprived media, you shift the bell-shaped curve to the left, and so that they become apparently much more sensitive to low levels of estrogen. And so people assume that perhaps in patients who have been treated with an AI over a long period of time, this is what happens, and it's one of the potential mechanisms of resistance to AIs. And the point is, if you take this long-term estrogen-deprived cell line and you give it increasing doses of Faslodex, then you can inhibit the cell line. And so the hypothesis is that if when you relapse on an AI and it's become sensitive to these very low levels of estradiol, and you simply give them fulvestrant and stop the AI, then you bring the estradiol back up again, which might compete out the Faslodex. And therefore, perhaps if you keep the estradiol level low and bring in the Faslodex, this may be better. Now, it's a great theory, and we've killed a lot of cells in culture, and we've cured a lot of mice in the labs, but there is no data for it. And so it is being tested at the moment in an ongoing study in the United Kingdom called the SOPHIA study. Stephen Johnson is the PI on, but there's no data for that. And I think there's probably not going to be a lot of clinical data out of that in the next year or two even. So we wait to see, but that's the rationale behind that option. The other option that we haven't spoken about is tamoxifen itself. And again, there was no good randomized data, phase 2 data, where this was the first line study of an AI versus tamoxifen. And then in the patients who got the AI, there was some data collected for those who went on to get tamoxifen. There's a really good clinical benefit rate of around 60-odd percent in patients who received tamoxifen as a second line in advanced breast cancer post-AI. But again, this is not, I repeat, not post an AI as adjuvant therapy, but post an AI in the advanced setting. Personally, I don't think we should use Faslodex continuing anastrozole. It's a nice concept, but there's no clinical data on it at all, never mind in this situation. Tamoxifen is possible. We've seen this phase 2 data on that. And there really is very little, if any, data on Meg-A's or high-dose estrogens at all. So what would be my pick? Well, I personally would like to use a different mechanism of action, and so I'd like to go with an anti-estrogen. I think the response rates, the clinical benefit rate of 60% we saw after the first-line AI is a high rate, and we've not seen anything from the newer, more expensive compounds which would make me change my mind and choose something newer. It's also a HER2-negative tumour. If you believe in the concept that patients become resistant to endocrine therapies, are less responsive if they're HER2-positive, then again, that would be another reason why I'd be comfortable with the tamoxifen. If I wasn't going to select tamoxifen, then I think I would select another antiestrogen for a different mechanism of action. And so my second pick there would be fulvestrant. But based on current data, based on long-term knowledge of the drug and based on cost, I think my first choice would be to use tamoxifen.